Our scripture lesson this morning is from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, "Record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith."
Well, good morning. It is good to be with you. I joked with the guys as I walked in that I was very happy to see my name in the bulletin, having driven 3 hours from Chicago. It would have been quite the... I would have stayed, mind you. But it's a delight to be with you. I would have loved for the girls, my wife Jenny, as many of you know, and our girls, our three daughters, to have joined us. But we're a pretty weary household, as many of you can relate to, starting the school year. Jenny and our youngest daughter are in a theater production, and then the girls are just working very hard, not only with their job, but with schooling. So I think they're going to just truly take this as a day of rest, you know, worship at our home church, and I will see them later tonight. But we have the opportunity to turn, as has been read, to Habakkuk chapter 2. But before we do this, we know that even the cleverest words will fall empty apart from the Holy Spirit, a blessing, and the preaching of the word, and at work in our lives. So let's pray to that end now. Let us pray. Father, we do commit this time, commit ourselves, commit this church to you. We truly want this, desire for this, to be a day where we rest fully in you, where our faith turns to you with confidence that only you can offer, knowing that your hand is around us and under us and guiding each step. So as we come before the words of the prophet Habakkuk, we ask for minds that will listen, hearts that will receive, and feet that will faithfully follow your leading. We commit this time to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Waiting. As I recall, it was a still and quiet night some years ago when we were living in Texas. I was lying there, sound asleep. Like a grizzly bear, I think, in hibernation. Nothing would wake me. Nothing. Except a word broke the silence. And immediately I stirred from my sleep. "Daddy!" Well, instincts kick in. I get out of bed, try to get some sense or some bearing, some balance, and kind of stagger out the doorway, trying not to hit a wall on the way out. And again, I hear that word, "Daddy!" But it's not coming from the rooms upstairs, it's coming from downstairs. So I make a turn, I head down the steps, and as I approach the landing, the whole room to my right is bathed with the glow of Christmas tree lights. It was the night before Christmas, only there was a creature stirring, and it was not a mouse. At the bottom of the landing to the right was that Christmas tree. Then I saw in front of the tree, coloring books opened up, markers spread about. Someone left the book open. They'd already begun to enjoy Christmas morning. Then I looked over to my left, into the kitchen, and I saw that someone, our 2-year-old daughter. She'd climbed the kitchen counter in search of more markers and pens and found herself trapped. She was unable to climb back, being that small, the way she came. So at 3 in the morning, she cried out, "Daddy!" Christmas Eve. It is so hard to wait for Christmas morning. Waiting is hard, isn't it, kids? at Christmas? When are we going to get to Grandma and Grandpa's house? When do we get to open the presents? When do we get to go sledding? When do we eat? You know what, kids? Adults aren't any better at waiting than you. Isn't that true? Sometimes the older we get, the more impatient we can be. Waiting. Simple things like waiting impatiently in traffic or at a line in the grocery store or for a spouse to get ready to leave. Of course, there's the more difficult waiting. Waiting to see what will become of a troubled marriage. Waiting to find out if this job will last another day. Waiting for medical tests and procedures, and then what next? Waiting for a rebellious child to return to the fold. Longing for God's intervention. Wait. It's not an easy word to receive. And it's clear from chapter 1 of Habakkuk that Habakkuk was tired of waiting. He was a devout, well-respected fellow. It's thought that he served in the temple in Jerusalem. He was a man to whom others would turn for advice and counsel. He served in the temple. He would have had the proper attire. He would have been stately in his presence, perhaps pious. From reading his book, we can see he nourished himself from God's word. He fully supported and enjoyed the reforms of King Josiah. But now, Josiah was dead, struck down in battle, and Habakkuk found himself bristling under the rule of ungodly men from his own people. Humanly speaking, he had every reason to complain. Year after year, he waited and he longed for God to intervene, for God's righteousness to prevail. Come on, God, can't you see? Can't you see what's going on? Why do you tolerate such wrong, God? It's not some pagan nation after all. This is Jerusalem. This is happening among your people. There's strife, conflict, injustice everywhere. How long must I call for help? And then in chapter 1, verse 5, Habakkuk receives a reply from the Lord. Not one he wanted or even expected. In verse 5, we read, "Watch and be utterly amazed," as that unfolds through that passage. Watch and be utterly amazed. Look around the nations and see. Wonder and be astonished. God said, "I am raising up the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, that ruthless and impetuous people, that feared and dreadful people." And as we read on, we see their horses are swifter than the leopards. They are fiercer than wolves at dusk. They will fly in like a vulture swooping to devour. The end of verse 8. As you read those words, you take in those words, God paints an ominous picture of what he has in store for Judah. He talks about wolves. Wolves are beautiful. Wolves seen in a photograph on a snowy landscape on your calendar or picture on the wall. But wolves are terrifying if you are their prey. Terrifying. And the wolves are about to be set loose on Judah. God is saying, Habakkuk, you are absolutely right. Violence and strife and conflict and injustice have no place in my people. The instrument I have ordained to bring judgment will be that exceedingly wicked people, the Babylonians. Well, understandably, Habakkuk is shaken with this response to his plea. Then, chapter 2, verse 1, we read these striking words. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. See, Habakkuk, he had taken his complaint before God. He poured out his heart before the Lord. So now was the time to say, Amen. So be it. God has heard. I will look now and see. I will listen to what God will say. Do you ever get impatient with God? I know I do. Confused? Do you ever question God's answer? You cry for help, you pray, He gives you a clear answer, and you just sit there shaking your head. Why, God? God, are you listening? What's happening here isn't right. Surely this circumstance can't be part of your plan. Well, the plight of Habakkuk in some real measure, in a variety of ways, as many ways as there are people here this morning, the plight of Habakkuk resonates at some level with all of us. And so too must his response. Waiting, watching, listening carefully for God's response is difficult. Can't you see God? Can't you see the pain, the hurt? Can't you tell my stomach is tied in knots? I wake up at 3 in the morning without a child crying out and wonder, what's going on, God? Well, the same loving Father who sustained his prophet Habakkuk will sustain us. Listen carefully to the Lord's reply. Look with me at the end of verse 2 and into verse 3. We read, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Write it down. Make it plain. I don't want anyone to miss this. What I say will happen at the appointed time. What I say will not be proven false. It will not be a lie. Now, you must wait. You must wait for that day when all those who are doing evil, those wicked Babylonians, the wickedness that's before you, when all those who are doing evil will do so no more. Now you must wait for that day when my people will be gathered into my arms and tremble no more. Wait. Wait. There's a very real sense that this one word, wait, wait, defines the Christian life as well as any other. In fact, in many ways, we are just like Habakkuk. While he was waiting for the redemption to come, we have seen the redemption come. Still, we wait, and we have little or no control over the events that surround us. And yet God says, wait. In reading verse 4, he says this, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith, or by faith. So right in this verse, verse 4, there are two people sit side by side. One is puffed up. His desires are not upright. This person does not wait, or forced to wait, does so with contempt or disdain, with bitterness or unbelief. The other person in this verse lives by faith, and in so doing is declared righteous. This person waits on the Lord. This person rests assured in the flurry and activity of life that the Lord is in his holy temple. In him he puts his trust. So first, the puffed up person, the one who is not upright. In this immediate context, Habakkuk describes the Babylonians who overran vast stretches of the Middle East. So you think of maybe their king or their army, the commanders of the armies, who effectively just reign over this vast territory. And it'd be easy for them to say, I make the rules. I take credit. I scoff and deride and destroy any, literally destroy any, who stand in my path. But you don't have to be a king to be so self-assured, do you? To overflow with undue confidence in yourself. To have so little humility toward God or toward others. And so much bravado toward yourself. That's a trait, in fact, that's often applauded and encouraged in our world. That sort of confidence in yourself. It appears to be strong. It appears to be resilient. To be in control of one's destiny. But notice here in verse 4, how does the Lord describe such a person? It's puffed up. You're puffed up like a balloon. You fill with air. You fill the room. Blow and blow and blow, filling balloons with air. Tie the knot, give them to children. They bounce them around the room with laughter. They're pretty. They're colorful. They're puffed up. But exceedingly unstable. Just one little pin pressed against that balloon and pop. Right? It drops to the floor and you see what it really is. Just a little shriveled piece of rubber lying helplessly. One person in this passage, in this verse, is puffed up. His desires are not upright. This person does not wait. This person places their faith fully in themselves and their view of the world. And that will give rise to discontent, even bitterness toward God when things don't go as they plan. At the end of the day, though, pop, the person falls helplessly to the floor. God contrasts this person with the one who lives by faith in the second half of verse 4. And that's the person who waits. But it has little to do, this waiting, with being idle. Waiting faithfully really is a mindset. It's a disposition of the heart. It's not a lack of action. Waiting to see, as we see in this verse, lives by faith. It's not just an idle worry. It is a waiting that waits in faith. He lives by faith in the Lord. Not because he panders, not because God pampers us and attends to our every cry, but because of who he is. He is God. We can wait. We can trust in him. He is worthy of that trust, of our confidence. God holds today and tomorrow and the future in his hands, so he's worthy of our trust. He has us in his hands. It doesn't mean there's no questions. We can only see so far as we walk. We might be able to see the step in front of us, but we don't know where that path leads. Whoa, we know where this... But it doesn't mean there's no question. It doesn't mean that your world is not unsettled. Habakkuk cried out as his world was shaken. He cried out. But then what did he do? Did he shake his fist? Did he curse God and die? No. He waited. He watched. He listened faithfully. Worth repeating. You go away with nothing else. Go away with those words. Wait. Watch. Rest assured. Because Habakkuk lived by faith. He was confident that God would do what he said to save his people and to bring them safely home. Think about that. Our final point here. Think about these final words. Lives by faith. Isn't it interesting that with Apostle Paul was going to the very centerpiece verse when he proclaims the gospel, he goes to this verse in Romans chapter 1. In fact, if you want to follow along, I'll be reading from Romans 1, 16 and 17. But it's this verse from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, that grabs Paul's attention in the first chapter of Romans. And he says these familiar words, writes these familiar words, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, who waits, who rests assured in the Lord. First to the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." And our faith is a revealed faith. We have the Word of God that's been revealed to us by God. God has revealed by acting in history to save His people, to gather a people unto Himself. Okay, He's done that work. We've seen that. We look back confident as we've seen redemptive history unfold to this point in time. So do we have a blind faith? We have a faith that rests in what God has actually intervened and stepped into history to gather a people to Himself. And the gospel message is the very center of events facing Habakkuk in this morning's text. The gospel is at the center of this text. So Habakkuk is looking out over his life. He can either look to himself or look to God. He can be puffed up or he can dismiss. And I'm sorry, he can be puffed up and dismissive toward God. But that's not what we find. We find a man who rests by faith in the promises of God. Puffed up or rest assuredly in the promises of God. That's the contrast drawn here. What will it be for you? What will it be for you? Where will you place your faith, your confidence in the course of this life, the events that you are weaving through even today, things that maybe even are grabbing your mind at this moment? Where will you place your faith? In yourself and your self-confidence, or in God and His provision? Think about it. Why does this church exist? Why does this gathering of people exist? To bring glory to God. To be a place in this fallen world that surrounds us, a place in this community where the glory of God brims up and pours over onto the streets as waters cover the seas. So as you and as I, as we live among neighbors and co-workers and family and friends, the glory of God is exhibited in how we relate to one another and how we, and through most powerfully the proclamation of the gospel to all of those people. So as you look upon your life today, as you ponder those things that are stressing you, worrying you, concerning you, pray as Habakkuk pray. Share your uncertainty with God, your confusion, your questions. This isn't right. If you find yourself stuck on that kitchen counter, if you will, then cry out to God, Daddy, Father. He will hear you. He will come alongside you. And He will lead you safely home. That's His promise. We'll dig into that more this evening as we turn primarily to chapter 3 this evening. He will hear. He will come alongside. And He will answer. But while you're waiting, how you wait makes all the difference in the world. How you wait. Will you wait with a puffed up and presumption, or even a downcast attitude, a faithless attitude? Or will your wait, will your time of waiting, will your season of waiting be marked by an assured and a hopeful confidence? Whatever comes your way, you know you're in God's hands. And whatever is unfolding for His mysterious purposes will advance His kingdom, bring Him glory, and He will uphold you in the midst of that. And I can't help but think of Psalm 23 when I think of the truth here that's exhibited in Habakkuk. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So just as I picked up my daughter and held her, we can be even more confident that wherever you find yourself, that God will pick you up and hold you and care for you and see you through whatever difficulty you are facing. So as we go from here this morning, if you gather with others from the church, friends, for a meal perhaps later today, let God intrude into your conversation. Don't let this word stay here. Stay within these walls. Let God intrude into your conversation. Take time to reflect upon what we read here in Habakkuk, the thing that perhaps the Spirit brought out particularly to you. Take time to reflect upon that, to discuss it with one another, to encourage one another, a friend, a family member, a spouse, to encourage one another, and to pray that God's Spirit would intrude upon your world and shape your life so that it can be said that you live by faith in Christ alone. And when you do, as you rest, as I rest in Christ alone, we will find that those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And as the song goes, teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Let us pray. Father, we come before you with our heartaches, our confusion, our doubts. We come before you with our joys, our celebrations. Father, wherever you've placed us in this moment, whatever you place us in the next, Father, we trust you with that. And we pray that our life as a whole, as we go about and pursue the journey of this life, that you would be with us, and that our demeanor, our posture, our heart would be marked by faith, by a restful confidence in waiting, looking, eager to see what you have in store for the next day and the next, and ultimately in that final day, Father, we look for with great eagerness and with great joy. But today I pray that you will give us a joy and a confidence and an assurance that rests in your promises, rests in you. And because of that, enables us to step forward day by day by day in the path that you have appointed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.